Thank you. Now, on this first Sunday of Easter, we hear the story of the appearance of Jesus among the risen Jesus among the disciples. But we hear it against what we have read from 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter. That particular letter begins, the part that we read, verse 3, it begins with beautiful words of praise, of blessedness. And then Peter praises God and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Acknowledging that all these actions came from a merciful, gracious God. And so, this letter of 1 Peter, it emerges from a context of marginalization, suffering, and uncertainty. It is addressed to early Christians who were scattered right across what was known as Asia Minor at the time. And the letter speaks to these communities that are experiencing social exclusion, they are experiencing hostility, they are experiencing persecution. And these Christians from Asia Minor scattered, they were not very secure in their hope, in their faith. They were rather shaken, very shaken. And we also need to remember that the context was even volatile even before Jesus rose from the dead. The empire exerted his power. But now, it's even worse. Now that Jesus has risen, and the target is also those who believe that Jesus is risen. So, the people who were receiving this letter from 1 Peter, they are described in the letter as well as exilees. They are strangers in the land. They are not necessarily just geographic exilees. No. They are also spiritually alienated. Their commitment to Christ, it placed them in this vulnerability. It placed them into the hands of those who sought to dominate and who sought to be very brutal. So their suffering, it was not incidental. Their suffering, it was at cost. The cost of discipleship, of following and believing that Jesus is risen. It is against this background that Peter then writes these words of blessedness, of praise. So just imagine. We know the context too well ourselves. We have our current sufferings. They were described here for us today by Colin. We also have our current sufferings here in South Africa. We suffer a lot. If we didn't suffer, they would not have deployed soldiers in our townships if we didn't suffer. So we cannot pretend as if there is no suffering. If we didn't suffer in a situation of unemployment, those who are mainly employed, the work that is prevalent is work of security. Security guards, security businesses. That's the work. So if we didn't, we cannot ignore that and pretend as if it's not happening. It is happening. It is happening. And so just imagine in the midst of that particular suffering, you write these words of praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And those who are exposed to drugs and violence would ask you, what hope? What are you talking about? Many of us now, as the petrol price escalates, we will ask, what hope? What are you talking about? Living hope? There's no hope. There's no hope. It seems like all is doom. It was all doom for these recipients of this letter. It was doom also for Peter, the author of this letter. But in the moment of darkness and heavy suffering, Peter could come up with words of praising God instead of words that say, where are you? How far are you? He rather writes and says, blessed are you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because from you we have received new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord. Peter dares to say that in a volatile situation. The very subject, resurrection, is the very cause of their persecution. But Peter sees hope in the resurrection. It's the resurrection, it's the witnessing to the resurrection that is causing the persecution. But Peter says, we have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many would have probably said, it's because we say he's risen that we are in prison. And you say we have new hope, living hope in the one who rose? Peter dares to praise God in a context of doom, persecution, scattering of God's people and suffering. Peter dares to praise God. What words do you have for God? What words do you have? He calls it living hope. Living hope. Living hope is hope that is alive. It's not hope that is passive. It is also hope that leads to action. It's not hope that leads to passivity, this living hope. Living hope is not the denial of the suffering that they are experiencing, but living hope is a defiant affirmation that actually in the resurrection of Christ, we have life, joy, peace, and hope. It's a defiant affirmation, that living hope. I may have made this example plenteous times, but it has taken me back to my background, to my years growing up in the villages. I may have told you about how villages are dark. They are still dark even today. There's no street lights there. So when you walk and you cross from one village to the other, you just walk in darkness. And you need to find your path if you're going to walk in the evening. Some paths leads to dead ends, and some paths leads to the next village. So you can imagine as you wander about in darkness and trying to find the path, you can only say, oh, we think this is the right one. Maybe hikers on Table Mountain, if you hike in the evening, may have some familiarity to this, but it's not the same. It's absolutely not the same. And so when you wander there in the evening, because we used to walk even at night, we would trust one another. Trust the one who says they know the way. And we would walk. And we would stumble. We would doubt. We would blame the one who leads the way and say, hey, you have chosen the wrong path. We knew that when we passed that particular tree, we should have kept left. You went right. And when you fall and when you are scratched or something like that, or when a snake appears, you still blame that one and we lose all hope. Should we turn back? Should we continue? What should we do? You become conflicted. But as we go on, and you see one light there at a distance, even 5 kilometers away, attitude to the walk changes. You still walk in darkness. You still walk in an open field where you still walk in thick grass on between thorny bushes. You still walk. But as you walk through those thorny bushes, because you see that light, the attitude on the walk changes, towards the walk changes. That's the living hope that Peter is talking about. He is saying to those who are suffering there, come on, Jesus is risen. Have a different outlook. Have a different attitude. Receive this suffering in a different way. Defy it if you can. But do that because Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. And so, this living hope changes our attitude, even though we still walk through thorny bushes and amongst violent animals. Living hope changes our attitude. Even in suffering, we trust God's mercy. Even in injustice, we continue to work for justice. Even in despair, we hold fast to the resurrection life. We know that Jesus came to offer us life and life to the full. Look at the disciples up the room. Let's go to them. They are locked. Why? In fear. They are afraid. And they are afraid of the Jews. That's how John wrote it. They are afraid because they attest that Jesus is risen, and the Jews are saying there is no resurrection. And if you're going to say there is, we're going to show you that there isn't. And so they are locked up that room because they are scared. But when Christ appears to them, what does Christ say to them? Peace be with you. Doesn't wait for a peaceful situation to proclaim peace. Peace is proclaimed to people who are afraid. We come amongst them and we say, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So those children who are afraid, whom Colin referenced and asking, what have we done? We proclaim peace to them. We don't just greet them with peace, because Jesus said, I will offer you my peace, but not as the world gives. We don't just proclaim peace to them. We pray for it, and we fight for what we pray for. Peace be with you means we will stand for peace. Why? Because Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Peace be with you means we will stand for justice. Why? Because Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. So, in that upper room, in that room where they have locked themselves in, the first thing that Jesus does is to say, peace be with you. And the second thing that Jesus does, Jesus shows them. Look, here are my marks. Even to Thomas, who wasn't there, and said, unless I see, Jesus comes and says, come, Thomas, look, here are my marks. I have been on the cross. That one who died on Friday is the one who is living now on the first day, even a week later. So even among the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because he's risen. Because he's risen. We read now that Psalm 23 differently. We now say, because Jesus is risen, I will fear no evil. Because he's risen. Because I could see the nail marks on his hands. And then I know suffering does not have the last word. Light overcomes darkness. Love overcomes hate and prejudice. Why? He's risen. He's risen. Then live as those who see the light. Walk in this darkness as those who see the light. Let the walk of your life now approach the walk of your life with a different attitude, because you can see the light. You know Jesus is risen. And then let your walk be different. Let your fight be different. Let your commitments be different. Let your worldview be different. He is risen. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, dear Lord, that you have raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and through him you have given us a new birth into a living hope through his resurrection. Raise us up again, dear Lord, from despair. Raise us up, O Lord, from suffering. Raise us up, dear Lord, from ways of violence, and bring us into ways of peace, of love, of unity, of hope. May the work of our hands be the work that leads to a celebration of Jesus, who is risen. We pray for all communities, dear Lord, all cultures, all languages, and all tribes, that they may not see themselves as enemies one against the other, but as children loved by you, who have given them this new birth into this living hope. Let your light shine, that darkness may be dispelled. Change our attitudes and our outlook to life, that we may live as those who are recipients of the living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen. And now we will ask the stewards to wait on us for our gifts and our offering for the work of God. Let us pray together. Living God, we bring our gifts before you with grateful hearts, rejoicing in the new life you have given us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we offer these gifts, let them be a tangible sign of our commitment to living the resurrection hope. We recognize that we are no longer bound by the darkness of what has been, for the light of Easter has broken through. Receive these offerings, not only the money we give, but who we are becoming, a people shaped by resurrection, a people learning to live in the light of new life, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Christ, the risen Savior, came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And they were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you. And also with you. We can share the peace of Christ with one another.